Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in your Bible. Amen. Glory be to God. Anything you want this morning, Father. Amen. I'm prepared to preach and to teach. Yes, and the Lord just in my heart. You just do that. You just do that this morning. Amen. Oh, that's what we're going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Where are those little ones, Bob, that I like to use? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Didn't Bob do a fine job taking the offering this morning? Hallelujah. Making it clear to us from the Word of God that we are indebted to Israel. And when we pay our debt to Israel, God says, I'm indebted to you. Amen. Did you hear that, Maurice? When we pay our debts to Israel, God is indebted to us. He's indebted himself to us. Amen. He said, you help me with Israel, and I'll help you with all your little stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he said. Psalm 122. Amen. He said, I will prosper those who require justice for Israel. Well, Father, we require it in Jesus' name. In our prayers, in our voting, in our giving, in our believing, in our preaching, in our teaching, we require, we demand the blessing of God to come upon Israel. We're not demanding God. Amen. We're placing a demand on His Word, on the covenant. Just like if you put a dollar bill in a Coke machine, which I don't do because I don't drink soda, and you hit the button that says apple juice, I get apple juice out of a Coke machine or water. You have a right to place a demand on that machine. Hit that button and expect results. Is that not true? Well, when we bless Israel, we have a right to place a demand on the covenant. Amen? You put something in, you get something out. That's what God says. Well, how come it's not happening as fast as I want it to, God, or in the way I want it to, God? Well, because God knows better. He knows what He's doing, and when He finally does bless you, you'll say, oh God, thank you, thank you, thank you, that you did it your way, not my way. Amen? Hallelujah. He's got a way. He's got a way, even where there seems to be no way. God's got a way of turning things around and blessing folks. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, He does let us go through some things, doesn't He? Amen? To mature us. Hallelujah. To bring us up higher. Hallelujah. But He is the promised blesser. He is not the damner. Amen. And He promises to bless those who bless Israel. Amen. I'm going with the Word, not circumstances. Circumstances will come in line with the Word. Amen. End of story. Everybody in the Bible used of God, we saw last week, encountered derailment of God's plan for their lives. Amen. I know I asked you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Amen. But I've only asked you twice. I get three turns before I have to read it to you. Amen. Last time we were together, last Sunday, we saw derailment in the life of Abraham and Sarah. Abram and Sarai. Abraham and Sarah. They had their names changed. Amen. Oh, did they have a goof up? Amen. That's why we're taking offerings for Israel today, because of what they did back then. Amen? That's why we're reaching out and comforting Israel today. Because of what Abram and Sarai did. Amen? Going to try to force the plan of God, the will of God, to come to pass their own way. God doesn't need our help. God needs our obedience. Amen? God's still going to bring good out of what Abraham and Sarah did. Amen? We saw in the life of Moses. These are all Bible kingpins, as I told you last time we were together, but they all started off on God's list of losers. Amen? Just like everybody else. Moses started out, he's a murderer. Amen? Murdered a guy. Moses, type of guy who liked to solve things with his hands. Paid for it for 40 years. Amen? God still used him. Amen? Who else did we look at? David. What a sorry soap opera that was. What David did to Bathsheba's husband so he could have her? Oh, I don't even want to talk about it again. But God turned it around and through Bathsheba's womb brought forth Solomon. David Solomon, Jesus, all in the same genealogy. What a goofed up family Jesus came from. Amen? The worst of the worst. Amen? But that's why he came. Amen? He chose that genealogy on purpose. David was a wicked sinner. But he was a man after God's own heart. He did the things that he did because he didn't have the Holy Ghost within like we do today that would prevent him from doing such stupid things. God turned that mess into a message. God turned that test into a testimony. Amen? Who else did we look at? Jonah! Jonah's name has become synonymous with every backslider in the world today. Hey, Jonah! When are you coming back to God? Amen. Jonah ran from God. God just used that stinking mess. What was the name of that message last week? Miracles and derailment. Amen. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, how badly you may have blown it, or what you're going through right now. God promises to turn your situation around and bless you, just like he did with Peter. Peter. Oh. Ooh. Peter. The night of Jesus, night before, on Crucifixion Eve, I call it, Jesus told the brethren that he was going to be dying soon, that they were coming to take him, and he was going to let it happen. Peter said, if they take you, they'll have to take me, only to turn around three times within the next 12 hours and say, I never knew the cat. Jesus who? That's what he did. But when Jesus rose from the dead, didn't he tell Mary? He said, go tell my brethren and Peter, because he knew Peter's heart was broken over what he had done. He wanted Peter to know that there's still hope, Peter. There's still hope. Amen? Amen? That's why Abraham and Sarah needed a Messiah. That's why David needed a Messiah. Why Jonah needed a Messiah. Why Peter needed a Messiah. Why you need a Messiah? Because of mistakes. Amen? Today I want to talk to you, hallelujah, about miracles and human weakness. Oh, you're going to like it. Hallelujah. If you liked last week's message, wait till you hear the sequel. Amen? That's this week's message. Amen? Listen, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Amen? I don't know what you might be going through in your life today. But I know this, if the devil has directly or indirectly, temporarily derailed God's plan for your life, it's not too late, it's not over. God's not through with you yet. I kept telling you last week, as long as there's breath in your lungs, there is hope for God's perfect will to be fulfilled in your life. God knew just where you were going to be at today. What you were going to be going through today. And God always makes a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? Amen? And no matter how unqualified you may feel to accomplish something for the Spirit of God in this earth, no matter how unqualified you may think you are, you need to understand it's not about ability. It's about anointing. It's not about ability. It's about availability. Amen? God doesn't call people because they're able. God calls us because we're not able. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you just believe God with me this morning, that I'll speak to you as of the oracles of God, and that you will hear something you needed to hear today to turn your situation around and to give you hope if you were losing hope. Amen? Believe God with me. In your heart, tell Him, I believe you to speak to me this morning through that man. I believe you to speak to me this morning through that man who's been yielding his spirit to you for 27 years on a daily basis, who's been yielding himself to your word for 27 years. Speak to me through him this morning, Father. Give me hope. Give me encouragement. Give me enlightenment. Just in your heart. You just say yes, amen. And he'll speak something to you today. And he'll send you out of here better than you were when you came in here. Not better than anybody else. Just better than you were before you crossed that threshold in Jesus' name. And you're going to need to cast every care upon him, like he said earlier. Just leave your woes and your worries on the other side of that threshold this morning. You didn't come in here today to sit here and worry. You came in here as a believer to receive from the Spirit of God. Now, make up your mind as a conscious act of your God-given free will that you're not going to let anything hinder you from hearing what the Holy Ghost is saying today. Amen? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Just a little pastoral counsel from the strongly anointed pastor this morning. Hallelujah. Look right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren. You see your calling, brethren. That not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, that word is powerful, not many noble, that word is well born. God doesn't call powerful, well born people, are called. But God has chosen the foolish. Oh, we need to stop there because this is going to bless you. That word in Greek that Paul used by the leading of the Holy Spirit is stupid, dull, blockhead. If you look it up in your Greek dictionary, stupid, dull, blockhead. God has chosen stupid, dull, blockheads of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In the base, that word is ignoble things of the world. Things which are despised. It means least esteemed. Hath God chosen. Yea. In things which are not, see, takes nothings and turns them into somethings, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory or vaunt in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So we see why we've been called. Because we're not capable or powerful. We're not well born. And we're a bunch of stupid, dull blockheads. That's what we were before Christ. I didn't say it. The Holy Ghost said it. Amen. Stupid, dull, blockheads. And then he takes the stupidest, dullest, blockiest heads to be the leader of the stupid, dull blockheads. Have I got any friends in here today? Hallelujah then. How, yes, Pastor Dennis Ralph says. Listen, some people say that the Apostle Paul authored 3/4 of the New Testament. Amen. Other people say 2/3 of the New Testament. Either way, the vast majority of everything that we know about walking by faith from Scripture came through the Spirit of the Apostle Paul by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul had a whole lot to say, has a whole lot to say in his epistles, in his letters. Epistle means letter. Amen. About who we are in Christ, but he also has a whole lot to say about who we are outside of Christ. Amen? And it's not possible to completely and fully understand who we are in Christ until we first understand who we were outside of Christ. Amen? We were incapable, ignoble, stupid, dull blockheads. That's what he said. Stupid, dull blockhead. Sounds almost childish. The way kids talk to one another. Amen? But God wanted to make it clear in a way that we'd understand it. So he said, stupid, dull blockheads. Amen? That's who he calls in life. stupid, dull blockheads. Amen. The majority of those who are called to preach the gospel or to be involved, engaged in ministry in any way, I don't mean just apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, or teacher, I mean service to God in any way, whether it's helps ministry, supportive service, whatever, the majority of people who are called to any type of gospel involvement are not wise, are not mighty, and are not noble. The majority are foolish, weak, base, and despised. Isn't that what we just read? Foolish. The Lord said to me one day in my spirit while I was praying. Foolish, weak, base, and despised. Forget it, and darkness will cover your eyes. It came out of my spirit. I said it to Barbara when it came up out of my spirit. Forget who you are outside of Christ. Forget who you were and forget who you are because of Him. The Lord said darkness will cover your eyes. You're not called because you're special. This is good news. Because most believers believe that people are called to the ascension offices, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher, and supportive roles in ministry because they're special. And that's just not true. The Bible says that God hardly, if ever, calls the special. People who think they're special, they only have one special thing about them. Special ignorance, vanity. That's what's special about special people. That's special ignorance. Amen? Special ignorance of Scripture. Amen? So you need to be encouraged today. There's hope for you stupid, dull blockheads. I didn't say it. The Bible did. Amen? Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying. Amen? You know my heart. Amen? Hallelujah. The overwhelming majority of people listening to my voice right now are called of God to do something they are not able to do. Period. Who used to do that? Danny Kaye? Hallelujah. The piano player. Oh, yes, at the end of a wonderful riff, he'd go at the end and fall off the bench. Well, I won't fall off the bench, but I will stay, say, end of story. Whatever God has called you to do in life and ministry, you're not able to do, you see. Somebody's thinking, or somebody thought, I wanted to do this for God. That's what I wanted to do. But I knew I could never do it. Well, that's just confirming that God's telling you to do it. God doesn't call us to do the possible. He calls us to do the impossible. He calls us to do things we could never do without Him. If there's something working in your heart that you can do without Him, it's you, it's not Him. It's not bad, it's just you, it's not Him. He calls us to do impossible things. Amen? Maybe He's called you to preach, to teach, pastor. Maybe to go as a missionary. Maybe to build a radio station, a TV station. To have a street ministry, passing out tracts. Maybe He's called you to work in this church and to help me and Sister Barbara build this church and reach Cape Cod in the world. Starting right here in this little Hyannis room, in this little Holy Day Inn. Maybe He's called you to help us to do that. I don't know what He might be calling you to do. Whatever it is, if He's calling you to do something, and every time it comes to mind, you think, oh, I could never do that, that's the Lord talking to you. Did you hear me? Amen. Oh, I could never do that. Or maybe the pastor just, he wouldn't want to get involved in me. He doesn't need me to do. That's God talking to you, telling you to do something. If it seems impossible, if every time whatever He tells you to do, every time whatever your vision might be, and I don't mean vision as in, you know, a big getting caught up in a trance. I mean just something working strong in you, a vision. Like visions work in visionaries, amen? If every time the vision that you have comes to mind, every time it comes you're hit with doubts, You're hit with fear. You're hit with intimidation. Welcome to the gospel big leagues. That's how it goes. That's how you can receive confirmation that God's calling you to do something. It's something that's so far beyond yourself, you could never do it unless heaven opened and intervened on your behalf. Like establishing a word church on Cape Cod. It's going to take a parade of miracles to get it to happen. Amen? It's going to take God's intervention to get it to happen. He's intervening, and He will yet intervene. He'll do it. The Bible says, unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. We're not trying to build a house. We're preaching, and we're praying, and God's going to have to build a house. Amen? We're praying, we're studying, meditating on God's Word, and getting down here preaching the Word twice a week. God's going to have to build this place. Because we can't do it without Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The resistance we've encountered. I told Barbara, I was just telling Barbara, talking about the lies that have been told about us coming here. You know, in heaven, I understand. Everybody has a clock in heaven. And every time you tell a lie on earth, the clock moves one position. The hands on the clock moves one position. Somebody said that George Washington's only told one lie in all of his life, so his clock would only move one position and stay there throughout eternity. Somebody said Abraham Lincoln told two lies in his life, so his clock moved two positions and just sat there, will sit there through all of eternity. Your life is represented by a clock, and it moves one position for every lie you tell. People on Cape Cod who have come against this work and this ministry, their clocks are in Jesus' house. He uses them for ceiling fans. The lies! But that's what the devil does. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. I get a half a smile out of Maurice this morning. Everybody be believing God for one of Maurice's big laughs today to come. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Listen, the Holy Spirit's put something in my heart for you. I want you to know, in Jesus' name, when it comes to a vision or a call of God on your life, ability is not the rule. Inability is the rule of the house. Did you hear that? Ability is not the rule. Inability is the rule of the house. Amen? Hallelujah. You help me, the Holy Spirit, to know where to go with this. Hallelujah. If the Holy Spirit keeps on showing you something big He wants you to do and you've been crying out, God, I can't do that. God is saying to you this morning, I know. Amen? You've been crying out, I wouldn't even know where to begin. God's saying, I know. Hallelujah. God, I'm not qualified. I'm just not qualified to do that. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And God's saying to you right now, I know. That's why I've chosen you to do it. Didn't Jesus say, I am the vine, you are the branches? Apart from me, you're the big fat zero with the rim knocked off. That'd be a modern paraphrase. Amen. Apart from me, you are nothing or you can do nothing. Amen. But in union with Christ, which you are, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. Amen. And when you're joined as the one spirit to the God, to the Spirit of the living God, there's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that you can't do. Nothing you can't do if you'll just get up every day and say, God, I believe you still. I believe you and I together can get this job done. God can't use people who think they can do things without Him. God can't use people who think they have it all together. They don't bother checking in with God every day. They don't need Him. They're not dependent upon Him. They can do things without Him. That's why He doesn't call them. They don't press in every day. They don't lean totally upon Him. They lean on their own abilities, their own skills, their looks, their money, whatever. That's why He calls the foolish, the weak, the base, and the despised. Amen? So that no flesh can glory in His presence. Amen? People who realize that their inabilities are attractive to God are the people who really get things done for God. Why don't you go over to Philippians chapter 3, if you would. I'm still trying to get a little bit of direction up here today. I'm listening on the inside, talking to you. Amen? Hallelujah. The first step into the supernatural is to realize that God is attracted to you because of your inabilities. Did you hear it? That's the first step into walking in the supernatural. Well, I mean, you got to walk in love. The love realm is the supernatural realm. We've been talking about miracles around here for quite a while now, a few weeks, 6 weeks or something, and teaching on love on Wednesday nights, because without mountain moving love, there can be no mountain moving miracles, there can be no mountain moving faith. Amen? So really, the first step into the miraculous is stepping into love. Amen? But then you need to realize that God is attracted to you because of your inabilities. I have a friend who's in the Marine Corps, was in the Marine Corps, is retired, he's out now, and he told me, now I know that I asked you to go over there to Philippians chapter 3, but I didn't ask you to read it. Amen? Hallelujah. This Marine Corps retiree told me that when you go into the Marine Corps as a plumber with plumbing skills, and they find out you're a plumber, you go with the electricians. If they find out you're a carpenter, and you come in and say, yeah, I'm a carpenter, I'm a carpenter, they say, good, you go with the plumbers. Amen? Whatever skills you come to them with, they send you in another direction. Because they don't want you to be dependent upon things you learned out in the world. They want you to be dependent upon things they taught you, the way they teach you, because one day your life could become dependent upon it. Amen? So they take you off into an area where you're the least qualified. They're not interested in the skills you learned before encountering the Marine Corps. They want to be the ones to teach you. Amen? God pretty much does the same thing. Amen? Do you realize that the Apostle Paul was called? I started this message by telling you that he wrote somewhere between two-thirds and three-quarters of the New Testament. And not because he was such a spiritual hot dog. Paul was called to do what he did because of his inabilities, not because of his abilities. You're going to see that as we go, and it's going to encourage you and stir you up. Look right here in Philippians chapter 3. Paul was chosen based upon inability, not ability, as so many people wrongly think today. In Philippians 3, 4, this we could call Paul's resume. I'm going to read Paul's resume to you. Matter of fact, I happen to have a copy of it right here. I was able to get my hands on a copy. If you look up here, I'm going to be reading to you from Paul's resume this morning. Amen? I'm a pastor. I've got a hotline to heaven. These things are available to me. I'm going to be reading to you from Paul's resume. Amen? Paul's list of qualifications as to why God called him to author the majority of the New Testament. Now, right here in Philippians 3, 4 through 6, Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I have even more. Look at my abilities, he says. Circumcised on the eighth day, a true Jew, of the stock of Israel, a direct descendant of Abraham. Would you look at that? Of the tribe of Benjamin, no less. In Hebrew, of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Possibly the most respected Pharisee who ever lived on this earth. Trained under Gamaliel. Amen? Concerning zeal? Well, he is a fanatic. He was an absolute fanatic. Persecuting the church. He's a Christian murderer. Touching the righteousness which is in the law? Blameless. Paul was possibly the most educated, intellectual, Old Testament scholar in the history of the Jewish people, with the exception of Jesus, who was God. Did you hear that? So Paul, God picks up Paul's resume one day, like I'm picking it up right here. And Almighty God picks it up, he says, Saul, you really are something to behold. Let's see, it says right here, you've practically memorized the Pentateuch. Whew! The first five books of the Bible, you've almost got them committed to memory. That's very impressive. Let's see, undergraduate, graduate, postgraduate studies in Hebrew history. Pretty good, Saul. You really are something to behold. This is one sweet resume we're looking at right here. You're not only a top-of-the-line Jew, but you are the bee's knees of Pharisees. You know what the bee's knees are? Sweet. You know, from pollinating the plants. Ooh. Concerning the law, blameless. You can read, you can write, and you can speak three languages fluently. Who? Hebrew, Greek, Roman? Fluent in all three of them. That's what else we got here. You'd never think of eating without washing your hands or washing the utensils first. Whew. You'd never talk with food in your mouth. Whew, my goodness. You've never cussed in your life and you wouldn't even think of it. Wow, Paul, you are the most qualified person presently living in this earth to teach my word to the Hebrew people. There's no one more qualified than you, Paul. See, I'm God. I'm reading this resume. To teach the Hebrew people. Your definite strength is Jews. It's pretty apparent. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You go to the Gentiles. That's what he did. And suddenly, Paul, in spite of this wonderful resume, is cast into the realm of his greatest weakness. Dirty, fish-stinking, God-hating Gentiles. You can just know that his mind pounded with thoughts of fear, intimidation, crying out to God, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to go to the Gentiles. I'm qualified to go to the Jews. It's in my resume, God. And God says, I know. That's why you're going to the Gentiles. I don't want you leaning on yourself. I want you leaning on me, and I want you leaning on the anointing. It's not about ability. It's about anointing. It's about grace, God's ability in you to do what you cannot do without Him. But you are not without Him. Are you happy in this place this morning? Do I have any friends in here at all today? Hallelujah. God thrust Paul into the, and I'm going to show you that from Scripture too, into the area of his greatest weakness. Amen? Poor Paul catapulted into a world that saw him as a murderous madman. He's killing them. And now God says, you go tell him I said I love him. Hallelujah. Paul was called of God to do something he wasn't able to do. Paul himself said he was the chiefest of sinners. He ultimately, put this in your notes in Philippians 3 verse 8, he ultimately referred to everything he learned about God before he really knew God as a bunch of doggy do. He called it dung. He said, everything I've acquired, knowledge, prestige, position, whatever, he said it's nothing but a pile of dung. The Greek word is skubaloo. Skubaloo. Hallelujah. It's nothing but a bunch of dung when it comes to knowing Him and the power of His glory. That's what he said. Everybody say skubaloo. That's a nice Greek word you can say when you want to be polite. Hallelujah. 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 You get anything out of this? So hallelujah. Suddenly Paul realizes that that inability isn't the exception when it comes to being used of God. Inability is the rule. inability to rule. And just like Jesus stripped himself of deity and humbled himself like unto the fashion of a man, allowed himself to supernaturally enter into a woman's womb and be birthed as a helpless baby in an evil world to where he was totally dependent on his Father's love and his mercy. Now Paul is absolutely stripped of everything he ever depended upon in life. And he now is at the same mercy of God that Jesus was at when he was birthed as a baby into this earth. Paul was helpless and defenseless without him. God told him, you are the most qualified teacher of Jews possibly to ever live. Go to the Gentiles. That's what he did. You'll see it. And then we'll show you some more scripture. Amen? And he does the same with you. Whatever God calls you to do, you can't do it without him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If he's calling you, if you're impressed, you've got a vision, a big vision for God that you think, I only wish. It's so big. Where would the money? Where would the material? Where would the pill? God, I can't! I couldn't! And God's saying to you, I know. So I'm telling you to do it. Those are my ideas, not yours. How am I okay up here today? Do I have a friend in the front row? Hallelujah. How about Peter? Go to Acts chapter 4. Don't read it. Amen. Peter! Had the same revelation that Paul had, got the same revelation that Paul got, same revelation that you're getting this morning, amen? Inability is not the exception, it's the rule when it comes to the call of God, no matter what that call might be. I can't imagine what it would be for some of you, amen? Maybe you want a feeding program, maybe you want to support an orphanage, something working, there's something working in everybody. Unless you've been blocking it somehow. Unless you've shoved it so far to the back burner years ago because you thought it couldn't come to pass it. You just haven't been paying any attention to it anymore. But it's in there. There's a dream and a vision of God on the inside of every human being. And that dream or that vision cannot come to pass without him. And because you know it can't, some have put it on the back burner. You need to pull it to the front burner and start believing God to do through you what you cannot do apart from him. It's making sense to me. That's how I got to be the pastor. Inability, not ability. Anointing. I went after the anointing. Amen? To teach and to preach. I surrounded myself with preachers and teachers who were already doing what God called me to do 27 years ago. And I looked at it, I thought, I can't and I don't wanna. But I began to realize it was God calling me to ministry, and I had no choice. So I just decided, these ministers who are already doing what I want to do, reaching the world and impacting people the way that I want to reach the world and impact people, I surrounded myself with them the way a donut surrounds a hole. I got under them. I submitted to them. I listened to them. You wouldn't catch me in church without a notebook and a pen. That's like a mortal sin. My standard of measure. And through influence, environment, association, prayer, and study, and faithfulness in church attendance. God let me preach a sermon one day. And I preached over 2,000 of them now. Amen? But it all started with faithfulness. Because God showed me, if you aren't going to be faithful to attend a church, you aren't going to be faithful to lead a church. It made sense. Amen? So every time the doors were open, that's where I was. In church. For years, I've been a faithful church attender. Unless I was conducting the services, I was sitting in a chair. Amen? And then the Lord put me in the nursery, of all places, when I went to Rhema Bible Training Center in Oklahoma. I said, where do you want me to be involved in ministry, Lord? And I figured He'd say, you know, the sound system. You can run the sound system. Ride ministry. Whatever. Assist the pastor. Just do whatever the pastor asks you to do. Tell him you're available. You know what he said to me? The nursery. He says, the nursery? I'm a man! I'm a man! The nursery? I'm a man! I'm a man! I'm a man! I'm a man! I obeyed him. I went to the nursery. Amen. And I discovered what the Apostle Paul wrote. They shall not all sleep, but they shall all be changed. And I was doing the changing. And you can laugh at me, but hallelujah. I went from changing their diapers to changing your diapers. So laugh at me all you want. Hallelujah. I asked you to go to Acts chapter 4. But I'm going to just tell you, boy, if you feel called to ministry, church attendance is it's got to be your utmost priority. If you cannot be trusted to attend a church, you cannot be trusted to lead a church. Hallelujah. So, we saw Paul was chosen based upon inability. The most, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know what that is. Amen. Outside the door, someone listening to the message, and they're more than welcome to do that. Amen. We have someone who normally attends the services, and they're having to work today, so they're outside the door listening to the message. Amen. Hallelujah. Everyone say, Joshua, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Now, we saw that Paul was the most qualified Jew to teach the Hebrews, and where did God send him? To the Gentiles. Well, look at what the Lord did over here for Peter, would you? Peter was also chosen based upon inability. Amen? Right here in Acts chapter 4, if you would. Peter and John had been arrested for preaching the gospel. Amen? And here they're standing before the scribes and the high priests and the Sadducees and their court trial. And right here in Acts chapter 4, in verse 13, talking about the scribes, the high priests, and the Sadducees. Now, when they saw... Are you there? Say amen if you're there. Amen. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men... Now, that word unlearned means illiterate. In that word ignorant, you're going to like this. The Greek word is idiotasi. Guess what word we get from that? Idiot. It says, and when they saw that they were illiterate idiots, that's what it says in the Bible. God put that in the Bible about Apostle Peter. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How'd you like to have this written about you in the Bible? Huh? You illiterate, dull, stupid, blockhead, idiot. These are God's words. These aren't my words. Amen? Hallelujah. How'd you like God to honor you by putting you in His book of who's who and letting all the world of all ages know how ignorant and unlearned you were? Amen? See, man in his wisdom honored the great Saint Peter by commissioning Giacomo della Porta in Michelangelo Buonarroti Simoni to build the great stone edifice that we call St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican Square as a testimony to the spiritual strength of the great Apostle Peter. That's man's memorial to Peter. God's memorial to Peter was to tell Luke, put it in there, I said he was an idiot. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Hallelujah. It's God's wisdom. He moved upon Luke to write about Peter in his book. Amen? Well, hallelujah. That speaks to me. He didn't move upon man to build a basilica. He didn't move upon Michelangelo concerning Peter. He moved upon Luke and said, put it in there how ignorant and unlearned Peter really is. Amen? Peter had, well, you know what? I just happened to have right here with me today Peter's resume. I just was able to get a copy, you know. Hallelujah. I put a call in for Paul's resume. Peter and Paul's both came. I figured I'd use them. Let me just read to you. Here, I'll be God again reading Peter's resume, okay? Let's see here, Peter. It says that you... Oh, Paul memorized the Pentateuch. You've never read it because there's no pictures in it. This is Peter's resume. Let's see what else here. You know absolutely nothing about me. You refer to the sixth grade as your senior year. Did you get it? John, he got it. Come on, brother. He refers to the sixth grade as his senior year. Peter had no education. He didn't have the higher education of Judaism, amen, like Paul had. No GED. He wasn't even a high school dropout, because you got to drop in before you drop out. He didn't drop in. He's reading comic books. Amen. Now, Paul spoke three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Roman. Peter spoke two languages, cussing and non-cussing. Now that's funny. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's see, I'm reading now. Don't make God laugh. Amen. Peter's resume, okay? Let's see. It says, you know nothing about me, Peter. You know nothing about the scriptures. You know nothing about your own Jewish heritage. You never wash your hands before you eat. You never wash utensils before you eat. You, unlike Paul, you always talk with food in your mouth. Amen? You make up your own cuss words as you go. You've said things and done things that make the devil blush. You love fist fights. You lie when it would be to your advantage to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. You're intimidated, it says here, by educated Jews. You're intimidated by my power. And you're intimidated by anybody who doesn't stink like fish, box, and throw rocks. You, Peter, would fit perfectly into the world of unbelieving Gentiles. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to the educated Jews. And suddenly Peter was thrust into the area of his greatest weakness. Scribes, Pharisees, lawyers, doctors of the law, priests. You can imagine what went through his mind. The fear and the intimidation that pounded through his mind. Amen? Pit bull Peter. Stinking like fish, food stains on the front of his tunic, crumbs in his beard from meals gone by. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 He's going to preach to the Jews about Jehovah. And that's exactly what he did. Didn't he? He did, by the anointing of the Almighty. See, Zechariah 4:6 says, not by power or human power, not by might or human might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All things are possible for you, the Lord said, if only you believe. There is a Godward side and there's a manward side to whatever it is God's put in your heart today. Amen. the man would side is, you just believe. You just do everything. You study in the area that you feel he's calling you to. It might not be ministry, but it'd be ministry related somehow. Amen. You're to reach your world of influence somehow in a way that you could not do without him. You just start developing in that area, studying in that area, reading in that area, praying in that area, releasing faith in that area. That's the manward side. You do the believing part, and God will do the confirming part. He'll do the miracle aspect of it. Amen? That's what I did. And that's what everybody needs to do. Whatever it is that's in your heart, no matter how big it is or how far removed from you it might appear to be, or how old you think you suddenly got, it is not too late and it's not too big for God in you. Colossians 1:27, Paul said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen. I went to school, to Bible school, with an 83-year-old woman. And she walked those halls every day for the years that I was there. And everybody knew you had 10 minutes to get from class to class. Us younger folks, we could make it in 5 minutes and go sit in the classroom and talk for 5 minutes till the bell rang. But this lady, and I believe her name was Betty, she's 83 years old. She carried a bag that was bigger than her with her books in it, just come down. It took her 10 minutes to get from class to class, and everybody knew to get out of the way. It takes her the whole time to get to the class. She did it, and she graduated, 83 years old, and I was told after that she left and went on the mission field. 83 years old, Betty's going to school when other people, less than 80, are giving their stuff away and getting ready to blow out of here. 83 years old. Hoo-hoo! Well, hallelujah. I'm shouting this morning, aren't I? Hallelujah. Whew. Peter started off on the wrong foot, granted. He lived with Jesus for 3.5 years, only to lie, cuss, and deny him. But through genuine repentance, within 2 months of having denied God, the best friend in the world he ever had, Peter stood up and he preached a homiletical masterpiece by the anointing of God, by the power of God, by the glory of God, a homiletical masterpiece. He did it in Acts 3 and he did it again in Acts 4 that led over 8,000 people to Jesus. 2 months! After, anybody in here ever lead 8,000 people to Jesus in 2 sermons? 2 months! And these were the Jews that killed Jesus. He convinced them of Jesus' lordship and led 8,000 people. That's a huge success in Peter's day to the Lord within 2 months of denying Jesus. He did it all by the anointing and by the power of God, not through his own ability. Amen? Imagine what God can do with you. You don't stink like fish. And you don't cuss that I know of. Amen? And even if you have, it's not the unforgivable sin. Amen? Hallelujah. Go over to Galatians chapter 2. I just want to confirm everything I just said to you. Paul was the most qualified. You get anything out of this today? Does this encourage you today? It's not about ability. It's about availability. Amen. It's not about ability. It's about anointing. Whatever's in your heart, whatever that dream is, that vision in your heart that's gone unfulfilled all these years, it's still in there. It's not too late. If it seems too big and like it could never be done, oh, glory be to God, the Lord saying to you, I know. I know. That's why I'm still calling you to do it. The gifts and callings of God, Romans 11:29, are without repentance. Amen? God calls us to do the things we're not able to do. Reading ahead of me is cheating. Amen? Hallelujah. No cheaters in this room. Amen? I know you can't. You can't. You know what? I'm going to take this Bible. You almost can't resist. God's Word is so good, you know. It's like putting a piece of candy in front of a baby and telling the baby, don't touch it. I send you the scriptures, and then I take forever to get there. And you just forgive me for tempting you with the Word the way I do. Amen. I want to show you as we close here today. Before we, and I'm going to lay my hands on you, because there's something supernatural about the laying on of hands. Well, do we believe it? Amen? It's a foundational doctrine of the church, found in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 3. And there's going to be impartations for that dream to come alive again, and for that dream and that vision to come to pass, whatever He's put in your heart. He's calling each one of us in this room and those listening by recording to do something that we cannot do without Him. Did I get you over there to Galatians chapter 2? Oh boy, I'm shouting. Now, he told Paul, you are the most qualified to preach to the Jews of any man on this earth. You go to the Gentiles. And Peter, you stink fishing, grubby, ignorant, dull blockhead, you are more qualified to teach the Gentiles, those dirty, stinking Gentiles, more than anybody I can think of. You go to the Jews. You teach the educated Jews. That way, when things start popping, and things start cracking, and signs, wonders, and miracles occur, nobody can say it was Paul. Nobody can say it was Peter. Nobody can vaunt or glory in the flesh. Everybody will have to say that must have been God, because it wasn't Paul, and it wasn't Peter. Amen. And that's what God's looking for in your life and in my life. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Look right here. Hallelujah. Galatians 2. How many times have I asked you to go here? This is the third time? It's time to read it. Look at verse 7. But contrariwise, Paul wrote to the Galatians, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, isn't it? Only Jews had to be circumcised, was committed unto me, Paul. You see that? The gospel of the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, was committed to Paul. As the gospel of the circumcision, the Jews, was unto Peter. Do you see that? Paul was called to the Gentiles in... Did I get that backwards? You got it right. And Peter was called to the educated Jews, for he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. You see what that's saying in essence, don't you? Paul's confirming what I just taught you. Peter was called to the educated Jews, the area of his greatest weakness. Paul was called to the dirty, uneducated Gentiles, the impure, unclean Gentiles, the area of his greatest weakness. And what God did with Peter, what God did with Paul, is consistent throughout the Bible and is consistent in your life and in mine. God's calling you to do something you cannot do without Him. You might be sitting there thinking, I don't know of anything that God's telling me to do that I can't do without Him. Well, He is, and maybe you never thought of asking Him, what do you want me to do with the rest of my life? Ask Him. He will tell you. And when He does, it'll be something you cannot do without Him. Amen? God called me based upon my lack of ability. You know my testimony. I won't give it to you again. You know, when I was 13 years old, I used to walk around with a bottle of blackberry brandy in my back pocket. I was 13 years old. It would be funny if it wasn't pathetic. Amen? And John laughed in the right spirit. It's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 13 years old. Smoking grass. Nobody cared for me. Nobody loved me. Nobody looked out for me. I had done so much LSD by the time I was 18 years old, my memory was just shot. I couldn't remember that. I had the worst memory of anybody I knew when I got saved. My memory, I knew, was going to be a problem for me if I was going to preach the gospel. I had seriously damaged my ability to memorize things with LSD. When I was 18 years old, I was standing in front of the Rexall drugstore in Woburn, Massachusetts on Main Street, across the street from the Rosewood Cafe. Pool room was upstairs. It's where I lived and hung out. wasn't living at home, hadn't for years. No one cared. I got thrown to the wolves. I didn't know what to do with myself. I had done so much LSD. I was standing in front of the Rexall drugstore in the hallway. It was closed. It must have been a Sunday when they still had blue laws. And I heard a voice say to me, if you don't stop doing LSD now, you will never stop. And it scared the LSD right out of me. I never used LSD. I heard a voice. It was my father. My earthly father wasn't looking out for me. My heavenly father was, before I even knew him. I stopped. I stopped the LSD. But I moved into other drugs, amphetamines and cocaine and heavy alcohol. And I smoked pot the way people smoke cigarettes. And I smoked cigarettes too, 3 packs of cigarettes a day, till I was 28 years old. Hallelujah. When I got saved, I found John 14:26, and it said, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. It's the first verse of Scripture I memorized. I found that in the Bible, sitting on the stairs of my house in Lexington, Massachusetts, number 6 Gray Street. I was renting a room upstairs, and I was sitting down on the stairs waiting for the mailman to come. And I found, I was reading John chapter 14 in my Bible, and it said, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all things that He taught you. And I realized, that's my memory cure. There's my memory cure. That's the first verse of Scripture I memorized. And when my memory would give me a problem, I'd just say, Holy Spirit, you bring to my remembrance now everything that you taught me concerning this area, in Jesus' name. And He did. And my memory's been completely restored. You know my testimony. I got so involved in cocaine and alcohol, and that angel came and visited me in my living room. Amen. Slain in the spirit for 3 days. You know the story. We don't have time for me to go into it today. Amen. I'm just wanting you to know what a mess I was. What an emaciated wreck I was. I was down to somewhere around 115 or 120 pounds. I was living on cocaine and beer and donuts. Chocolate-covered donuts. Entenmann's chocolate-covered donuts. That's all I would eat. It's all I could eat. Amen. Locked myself in the house for days and weeks at a time, just getting high. Selling equipment from my... I had 2 businesses, Thoreau Tree and Landscaping. And I was making the killing in Lexington and Concord with that name. Thoreau Tree and Landscaping and Middlesex Forestry Service. I had raised those businesses up and I was making some big time money. I got so heavily involved in drugs. The devil got such a hook in me, I started selling all my equipment to get drugs. Hallelujah. And there I was in my living room, locked in that house, shades all down, in the corner over there on my knees, crying on the rug. 118 pounds, bloodied fingernails, bitten all down to the quick. I was a nervous wreck. And the Father looked down from heaven and said, well, will you looky here, Jesus? Looky here, someone we can use. Someone who can glory in His flesh. And He sent that angel to visit me and touched me on the head 3 times. I fell under the power of God for 3 days. It's biblical to fall under the power of God. Adam did, Abraham did, Ezekiel did, Daniel did. Peter, James, and John did at the Mount of Transfiguration when God, they fell on their faces. They fell under the power of God. 3 times John the Apostle was slain in the Spirit in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. And God rose me up, called me to do the very thing that I never ever thought I could do without Him. Talk to people. Talk to people. Stand up and talk to people. And you're sitting there thinking, yeah, you do it for a long time too, Brent Pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand up if you would. Hallelujah. God's grace has seen me through. God's grace will see you through. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 16, and before I tell you what it says, do you see from this message today that Paul was called to the area of his greatest weakness? I read his resume to you. Do you see that Peter was called to the area of his greatest weakness? Do you see that you are called to the area of your greatest weakness? That no flesh can glory in God's presence. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. There's a guy on the Daystar Network selling grace. Grace is a gift of God. He's on the Daystar Network and he's selling grace. And he's selling favor and he's selling healing for offerings. Jesus paid for grace with his blood. Jesus paid for your favor with his blood. Amen? Jesus paid for your healing. I'm not putting the Daystar Network down. There's a lot of good stuff on there. But there's a lot of junk on there too. All you have to do to qualify to be on the Daystar Network is cough up $3,000 for 29 minutes. The doctrine's not examined. You have to examine the doctrine for yourself. Grace is given in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and grace means God's ability in you to do what you do not have the ability to do without Him. That's what grace defined means. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, God's ability in you, to help in the time of need. You come to the throne for grace. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Grace comes by praying. Faith comes by hearing. Say that.
Faith comes by
hearing. Grace comes by praying. See, faith changes things. Grace changes people. Say, faith changes things.
Faith changes things.
Grace changes people.
Grace.
If you'll get into His Word, if you'll go boldly and confidently before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need, God will be able to accomplish through you what He's called you to do in the area of your greatest weakness. Say, I am called,
I am called
to the area
of my greatest weakness.
Now say it again. I am called
to the area
of my greatest weakness. Do you believe that?